Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
RVA, some feedback and echo there. Let's get that repaired, and we will be off to the races. All right. We got a lot that we are going to be dealing with this afternoon. Let me start by correcting our pal Dana Lash there. Dana, in the last couple of moments of the show, was talking about, oh, you know, California's done with Kamala Harris. It's all done. That's not true. That's not even close to true. In fact, just the opposite is the case. Now, you know that Harry, my beloved older son, you know, he works for the enemy. He does. Ah! It's a pain in my heart. I have a little piece of ripped clothing and I cover the mirrors when I think about the nonsense. But all of that being said, he's telling me, because he knows, there are actually all sorts of people in California who are, as we speak, prepping for Kamala Harris to run for governor of California. All right, Gavin Newsom is termed out. The lieutenant governor is, at the moment, kind of sort of in the lead, but there are a few other people who are positioning themselves to run for governor. And Kamala Harris already has people on the ground in California who are doing everything humanly possible to pave the way for her to run for governor. Now, I'm not telling you she's going to win, but I am telling you this idea that when she loses the election for president, that it's all over and done, and she becomes, well how did she say it, an uncomfortable footnote or something like that. I don't take that one to the bank. Our pal Joe Moreno, smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is going to be here at 3:35. And we are looking forward to chatting with him. General Keith Kellogg, a retired lieutenant general with the United States Army, 3-star, served as the national security advisor for Vice President Mike Pence, served as the national security advisor for President Donald J. Trump. He is going to be with us at 4:05. Looking forward to that. And it's Tuesday, right? So we got Craig Peterson, who's going to be along. We'll talk about all things tech. Let me share with you, if you're coming out to Politics and Pints tomorrow down in Hopewell, it should be fun. It really should. And I am... I don't know if I really want to say anything more, but I am following the ongoing difficulty that our friend Gutman is having. No, he's just weeping like a small child, and I would be embarrassed for him, but, you know, it's Gutman. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. Well, Jer, my board is exactly the same as it is as well. So what can I tell you? but yeah, Gutman, I'm not going to say anything more. Or maybe I'll just say a little bit. It's so entertaining, and it's so entertaining for all the wrong reasons. First of all, Howard really believes that anybody gives a damn about what he has to say about anything. I don't think Mrs. Gutman cares what Howard has to say about anything, let alone, you know, the rest of us. But he drinks such giant barrels of Kool-Aid. And it is apparently Joe Biden-flavored Kool-Aid. It's really, I think it's an illness. I think it's a sickness. I don't think Howard's going to be able to ever recover from it, of course. Because what's Howard, like 70 years old now? Right? I mean, he's not changing his ways. Right? You get to a certain point. He's got quite a few years on me, but you do. You get to a certain point where you say, that's just the way I am. And that's just the way I'm going to be. And that's the end of the conversation. And I think for Howard, that's the case, right? He's a swamp dweller. He's made his millions as a swamp dweller. And he goes back and forth between a mansion and a penthouse. So believe me when I tell you, he's not exactly experiencing any of the difficulties that real people in the real world are. Which is why it's just so entertaining to read these just delusional diatribes. Should I print them out? You know what? Do me a favor. Shoot me a note real fast on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. You tell me, should I print out the emails that Howard has been sending back and forth complaining about questions and all concerned about what we're going to ask or discuss? You tell me. Because if you want me to, I think I will. And even if I, well, now I was going to say, maybe I'll print them out. I'll print them out or I'll just scribble down some notes. How's that? Good craziness. But you know what it is? It sort of gives you the lay of the land with so many of these demented folks on the left. There's even the buzz out there that they get Kamala Harris to drop out now that she's been exposed as a plagiarist. The New York Times, which at this point doesn't have a single solitary employee who actually practices journalism. Not a single one. The New York Times has a plagiarism expert who said, well, yeah, Kamala Harris plagiarized a bunch of stuff, but you know, that doesn't make her a bad person. That, yeah, it does, actually. Well, it doesn't mean that she's a plagiarist. I think when you copy and paste, that makes you a plagiarist. Unless, of course, you copy and paste and you make a note that says, I copied and I pasted this, just so you know. And the person who wrote it originally was blankety blank, or I took this from this certain publication, and I just want you to know that. Now, when you do that, all is fine. All is right with the world. But when you copy and paste and you can't be bothered to do any of the citations or the references or the acknowledgments, well, then there's a problem. There's a big problem. So there's a buzz that says she's going to drop out. Now, look, we got like, what, 3 weeks? Isn't it 3 weeks from today? She's not dropping out. And who would they actually, if she did drop out, who would they get? Who would they get if she dropped out? It's got to be Hillary Clinton, right? That's the only person left sitting on their bench that hasn't had the chance. Oh, no, never mind. Hillary Clinton had the chance and she lost. All right, well, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe they're thinking, we're going to strategize. Oh, you know what? Maybe it's Gutman. Oh, this could be Howard's big chance. Oh, wait a minute. Now I get it. Maybe Howard is so stinking concerned about the questions and whether Gary Hess is going to be fair. Oh, my God, I don't think he's going to be fair. Who cares? Dude, take a lap, rub some dirt on it. Well, it's not fair. He's going to ask me all these bad questions, and I think he should ask these questions over here. And I just sit back and I think, literally, nobody cares. There's not a human being on God's green earth who gives a crap what it is that you have to say about anything, and nobody cares what your choices for these questions are. It's just nonsense. I digress, though. Oh, isn't he coming on tomorrow with John Reed? God, this is the one thing I don't like about John. And it's not even that I don't like it about John. It's just that John is such a nice guy. He really is. John's like that guy who just wants everybody to get along. He's a people pleaser. I just want everybody to get along. I'm not. I don't really care whether you get along. Isn't that's awful to say, but it is true. I don't care. I think we have to deal in facts. I am at the point in my life, especially now, where I say, look, here are the facts. And you can like them or dislike them. That's entirely up to you. That is subjective on your part. But objectively speaking, these are the facts and evidence. And it doesn't really matter how you feel about them. These are the facts. Here's a fact for you. Governor Glenn Youngkin is pushing back, fighting back against the U.S. Department of Justice. The Department of Justice, run by Merrick Garland, another one of these demented trolls up there in D.C., a Joe Biden acolyte, they don't like the fact that in Virginia, apparently, we are not in favor at this point of dead people and illegal aliens voting. Maybe they really do need the illegal aliens and the dead people to vote. Maybe that explains that Bob Hillsworth? I don't know, whoever that guy is, who came up with the, well, I believe all the polls. That's a good thing to cover all your bets, don't you think? Like if she wins, he can say, oh, yeah, I said she was going to win. If she loses, he can say, oh, well, gosh, that's a shock. I'm as surprised as anybody. Please let me talk again. Maybe they need the dead people. Maybe that's what they were counting on. Maybe that's the margin of error. Maybe it's the illegal aliens. They need the illegal aliens to vote. And if you've got illegal aliens voting, well, then I guess Kamala Harris does well. I love the fact that Governor Youngkin has pointed out, hey, this isn't a law that I worked to have passed. It's not a law I signed into law. That was Tiny Tim Kaine. Remember him? When he was the governor, he signed it in law, and since that point, Democrat as well as Republican governors have enforced that law. So how come all of a sudden it's a bad thing? Well, you know, and I know, and they know. Here's another quick comparison. Look at the Republican governors in Virginia and in Florida, right? Two of my favorite people on God's green earth, Governor Glenn Youngkin, Governor Ron DeSantis. Each state hit impacted by Hurricane Helene. Both of those governors put aside any concerns about politics. They roll up their sleeves. They get things done to help their people. Roy Cooper, the far left-wing Democrat governor of North Carolina, he doesn't roll up his sleeves. In fact, he puts the cufflinks back in his sleeves and says, what do I care? That's been the response. Because it's all people in Western North Carolina, and they're not in the right voting block. And I hate to be the one to tell you that, but that's what's going on. All right. 316, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
.324, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Tuesday, and yes, Germ, still terrible delay feedback sort of stuff going on in the headphones, but what are you going to do? 804 says, Jeff, you guys never mentioned that Mayorkas went to Nobu in D.C. and had Wagyu beef after he did a quick popover visit to the peasants in North Carolina. Well, no, actually, I did. I don't know if John did. I did. That's just the way. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. You know, every once in a while, you are reminded by people who should know better that you're just not that important. And you are you're not that valued. And that's the entire Mayorkas attitude. That's the entire Roy Cooper attitude to a whole slew of people. It's insulting. absolutely disgusting. 804 on the Chronic Care of Richmond text line. Jeff, Bob parrots the party line. Oh, that's that, what's his name, Holdsworth? I think what he wants is to be like that Larry Sabato. Don't you think Larry Sabato, who heads up the Larry Sabato Center for the Promotion of Larry Sabato? I think that's what Bob wants. 804, maybe Gutman can use a teleprompter like Kamala Harris does in her town halls. Yeah, that would be good. Absolutely. Absolutely. Jeff, poor Howard just wants what every Democrat wants. The questions beforehand. He must be in panic mode. Mike, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely correct. Absolutely correct. And it's disturbing. It is disturbing. But make no mistake, lessons presented, lessons learned. So we'll see how it all goes. Hey, Joe Moreno is going to be here at 3:35. You don't want to miss that. 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Even worse, Germ, even worse. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon, and I promise I still care. We've got General Keith Kellogg, that's a three-star Lieutenant General of the Army. Keith Kellogg joining us at 4:05. Of course, you hopefully remember that in addition to his distinguished military career, retiring at the rank of a three-star general, he also served as the National Security Advisor for Vice President Mike Pence, as the National Security Advisor for President Donald Trump. All very, very important stuff. Governor Youngkin is in the news. And he's in the news because he's saying, look, bottom line, I don't think that we should have dead people and illegal aliens voting here in our beloved Commonwealth. And I'm not the first governor to say that. In fact, this law went into effect when Tim Kaine signed it into law. So what gives, right? Well, Joe Moreno, the smartest lawyer on God's green earth, is joining us. Hopefully give us a little insight into all of that. Good afternoon, counselor.
Jeff, how are you, sir? Always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, the pleasure is always mine. I am thrilled to have you here. Tell me what's going on with this law, because just as a layman, I'm looking at Governor Youngkin saying, yes, of course we're going to enforce the law. We don't want illegal aliens voting. That to me should be one of the easiest things he does during the course of business that day. But Merrick Garland and the guys are saying, whoa, we're going to need those dead people voting for Kamala Harris.
Jeff, I mean, anything gets me at my profession. It's when it's used for purely political reasons. And unfortunately, it's a trend that is happening much more often. And it's exactly what we're seeing here. Why would the federal government want to do anything to make people less confident in the protections around our state-level elections? And yet, exactly what's happening. At the same time, we have millions of illegal immigrants coming into the country. We have blue states like California barring any effort to require voter ID in that state. And then you have the Commonwealth of Virginia, where, as you point out, Governor Youngkin is implementing a law that's been on the books for almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. And now, 25 days before the election, the Justice Department's actually Virginia from applying its own law, which simply says that the state should be doing an ongoing sweep to screen people who are not citizens from voting. And it's done by a simple questionnaire. What we're doing is we ask people, are you a citizen or not? If they say no, then that response is compared to the voter rolls. And if there's a discrepancy, they're removed from the voter rolls.
Right.
And petition it if there was a mistake. They feel it was done improperly. So there's all kinds of protections here. But the idea that you would want to shake integrity of the election weeks before the actual election day, I mean, I don't see any other reason to do that other than you're trying to permit as many non-citizens in the Commonwealth of Virginia to be able to vote.
All right, so let's let this play out. Now, it is, as I understand it, it is self-identifying, right? The person is actually going to say, hey, by the way, I want to vote, and I'm not a citizen. Is that what I'm understanding?
That's right. That's right. I mean, no purging through people's records. There's no spying on people or getting people to kind of point fingers and say, I don't think he or she's a citizen, and playing these games. It starts with a self-identification. If the person is not a citizen, then they can make sure they're not on the voter rolls. If a mistake was made and they checked the wrong box, then they can correct it later by saying, hey, wait a minute, I am a citizen. Here's my passport, my birth certificate, what have you. Let's fix this problem, right?
Yeah.
I don't see any less obtrusive way this right. could be done. And yet, here you have the Justice Department doing all it can to stop this. This basic protection of election integrity from being implemented again has been utilized for 20 years. And to your point, was signed by Democrat Governor of Virginia, Tim Kaine. No one seemed to have a problem with it back then.
So how does this impact me as a lawful American citizen trying to exercise my franchise?
Well, I think it just emphasizes how important it is to vote.
Right.
And look, you which way I lean, but you know what? That doesn't matter. I would say, regardless of who you plan to vote for, just vote. Exercise your basic right as an American to show at least 2 or 3 years to be at the head of our executive branch and representing us in Congress.
Here's the thing, though, Joe. You're pointing out that it is the person who's going to vote who says, oh, no, I'm not a citizen. And then we say, well, you can't vote then. I mean, it seems to me to be easy enough. It's not impacting me. If I'm asked the question, I say very proudly, yes, I am an American citizen. I fully intend to vote. So what standing is there for Merrick Garland and the DOJ to even come up and say, oh, we just don't like this? Because regardless of how you slice it, man, it just comes across as pure, crass politics.
Implementing a provision of a federal law from 1993 prevents last minute, which means within 90 days of election day, purging of voter rolls. That's what they're saying. So basically, it was designed to prevent mischief.
Yeah.
Designed to prevent last minute changes, how you register, last minute changes on what kind of ID is required. Right. The idea is that you have the rules in place across states, right? The states carry out elections, even for federal office, and you can't change the rules at the last minute. Fine. Right. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what's happening here is a law that was passed in 2006 that calls for an ongoing process. It's not that Doug Youngkin just all of a sudden said, yeah, you know what? Now we're going to use this law that's been sitting around for all these years. No, he did issue an executive order in August saying, make sure this law is being enforced, right, the Board of Elections. Again, that's always the case. It's supposed to be ongoing when people register. And the idea, that's what the DOJ is hanging on. They're hanging on the idea that he ensured in the run of the election that the existing law is enforced. And that's saying, well, wait a minute, it's too close to an election, we're going to stop. And they know darn well there's no way this case is being resolved in 3 weeks, right? It's a Hail Mary, we're going to put a stop to it now, and by the time it's resolved well beyond Election Day, well, probably doesn't really matter because we've basically made our point in terms of, one, making a political argument that they're not going to stand for states actually trying to preserve the integrity of their elections. It's probably a nod to the left. Say, hey, look, the Biden Justice Department is doing its part.
Yep.
To make sure that Kamala, with, as we've spoken about many times, the plethora of criminal prosecutions, which, thankfully, against President Trump, by one have been falling apart.
Yeah. It's craziness. Joe, I appreciate you being here, man. I really, really do. That is Joe Moreno. Joe, as you know, is the smartest lawyer on God's green earth. It's absolutely appalling to see, to hear, to experience what Joe Biden's White House is doing, what Merrick Garland's Department of Justice is doing. This is nothing more, nothing less than an exercise in left-wing politicking. It's ugly. It is absolutely, positively ugly. And it's wrong. And yet, there it is. There it is. So, once again, kudos to Governor Youngkin for standing strong on this. Attorney General Jason Meares, I'm sure, is going to be pushing back. I'm sure he's looking forward to pushing back on this. It's just outrageous. 345, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 352, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Tuesday afternoon. We've got Lieutenant General retired Keith Kellogg joining us at 4:05. Keith Kellogg, as you hopefully recall, I'm sure that you do, he is somebody who served as the National Security Advisor for Vice President Michael Trump. Michael Pence. Yeah, it's really a bizarre situation that we are in, where we see what's going on. And you know that someone like, Kamala Harris, who was part of a coup within the White House to ditch Joe Biden, is now putting forward some of the ugliest ideas. Let me share this one with you, because this one, I thought, man, you can't be this desperate. And guess what? I was wrong. She is, in fact, this desperate. Now, I'm looking at the official Kamala Harris feed. Kamala Harris will create, quote, an opportunity agenda for black men. What does that mean? Well, first of all, Kamala Harris will provide 1 million loans that are completely, fully forgivable, up to $20,000 for black entrepreneurs to start a business. So that's $20 million you're somehow going to find, I don't know, in your purse that you're going to loan. It's only for black men, right? I just want to make sure I'm reading this right. Nobody else, I can't apply for it because I'm a white guy. Well, okay, that certainly sounds just completely American. Kamala Harris will also support education, training, and mentorship programs that lead to good-paying jobs for black men, including pathways to become teachers. Well, I mean, that's a wonderful idea overall, but why would you limit it strictly to black men? Well, what about black women? What about black women who are saying, man, I would love to be a school teacher. I would love to have some sort of training or mentorship. I don't know why you would exclude anybody. It's America. Kamala Harris also says she will protect cryptocurrency investments so black men who make them know that their money is safe. Could you start with me? Now, I know I'm not a black man, but I don't understand cryptocurrency. And from the sounds of it and the feel of it, I am being left on the sidelines. Shouldn't I have some sort of education on cryptocurrency? Is it only black men who don't understand cryptocurrency? Because I'm sitting here again just as a white dude, and I'm telling you, I don't understand it. And I don't know how I would, I've got a financial guy, so maybe I don't have to care or worry about it, but I would think I would have to care and worry about it. Kamala Harris says she will launch a national health initiative focused on the illnesses that disproportionately impact black men. Well, the two top illnesses that disproportionately impact black men, sickle cell anemia and hypertension. That's the fact. There are a variety of programs designated to address, educate folks about sickle cell anemia. hypertension, high blood pressure, things of that sort, you'll recall that somebody wished a heart attack on a certain member of the Supreme Court. That doesn't seem all that fair. Legalize recreational marijuana and create opportunities for Black Americans to succeed in this new industry. Okay. 356, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.